You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Every 3 years, youth and adults of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod gather to be encouraged in their Christian faith and Lutheran identity. And at each youth gathering, LCMS Youth Ministry has conducted a poll. The most recent LCMS Youth Gathering took place last summer in New Orleans. It was a blast.
It was. We had, as always.
Yes. And I think we might have talked with all 19,000 people that were there.
I think we did, actually.
Felt like it. Today, we get a summary of the 2025 Youth Poll. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University St. Paul. You can learn more about Concordia University St. Paul by visiting csp.edu. Joining us today, the Reverend Mark Kiesling, Director for LCMS Youth Ministry. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
And also one of the hosts of End Goals Youth Ministry podcast, DCE Juliana Schultz, Program Manager for LCMS Youth Ministry and one of the co-hosts of End Goals podcast. Welcome back.
Glad to be here.
We always have fun when you guys are in studio. Today we get to talk like stats and numbers and polls. And
our favorite topic.
Which is like totally your wheelhouse, isn't it? Yes.
So one of the fun things we get to do every 3 years is Mark and I and our senior research analyst from Rosters and Statistics, Ryan Kernut, get to work together to put together all of the data and then to look at it when we're done. It's some of our favorite meetings.
Of course it is. So let's talk a little bit about the history of this poll that takes place at the youth gathering. How far back does it go?
All the way back to the first one in 1980. And luckily, Terry Dittmer and others had the great wisdom to continue to do it every gathering. So we could see changes in data. Certainly, it's obviously we're not talking to the same youth every 3 years, but yet nonetheless gives us this really cool history of like these questions that we asked our young people. You can see like how things change within world politics and things in terms of like what the questions were, what the responses were. So it's a really good piece of data for us to kind of longitudinally look at things within the LCMS and with some of our young people.
What cool foresight to have in 1980 to just think to do this.
They did it where you could fill in the little dots
on
the Scantron.
Oh, man.
They did
they had a voting machine 1 year. I think it was coming up on an election, so they were having fun with it. Yep, actually rented them. Yep.
Yeah, so it's taken a bunch of different formats over the year, but it's great to be able to kind of see that over time. Mm-hmm.
That is really cool. How many youth typically take the poll?
So usually we can look for what we would talk about as kind of a random sampling, usually around 1,100 to 1,500 of the students. So not everyone who comes to the gathering is going to take this. We do give them a prize, a small prize giveaway if they take it and bring it to the youth booth on the floor. But it's enough of a sampling of that we can say like, hey, this is a pretty accurate representation of the boys and girls that are there for youth ministry. Mm-hmm.
So how does this poll help people, the parents, the youth leaders, the people that care for youth? What does this poll do?
We definitely look at it like we're always careful to say, like, we don't necessarily say that this is a profile of LCMS young people from the standpoint of the only people who take the survey are those who attend the youth gathering. And certainly there's a lot of diversity within that group. But even sometimes the data even says, it's like, oh, maybe there's something specifically to those who are attending the gathering, or probably maybe those who are more highly engaged maybe in their congregational life. And so we want to say, certainly, as we think about doing youth ministry within our congregation and community, to be thinking of maybe those young people, too, that might have different thoughts or feelings about some of the things we discuss, and to make sure they're not forgotten in the ministry because maybe they have other things going on circumstantially that they would not attend a youth gathering. But beside that, though, we do see, especially as we look over the years or if we look one gathering to the next and in the questions we ask, it's helpful for us to see maybe some of the challenges our young people are seeing in their world, certainly a lot of the joys we get to see around their interaction with their family and their friends and their congregations and their pastors and those who care for them. And then also just to understand, like, where are they at in their understanding of maybe basic Christian doctrine, but then also issues in their world. And not only what are their thoughts on it, but also what's important to them. And so it helps us, like, we use it all the time for youth e-source materials, for even getting speakers for the next gathering, because we're like, oh, we're missing a topic here that they want to hear more about, and we go find experts on that, so that makes sure we hit that the next time. Because certainly things change in 3 years, but oftentimes within youth culture too, there's these topics to say like, hey, church, we want you to talk more about this, and that's always helpful feedback for us.
Yeah, there's so much I think that we can capture. Like I said, it's not a full scientific survey of all young people in the LCMS, but even the data that we are able to get does give us some direction, both on like Mark just said, like topics to be talking about, but also things that we need to be paying attention to. So maybe it's a rise in a risky behavior or even something as simple as like, hey, we can look at over time and see how the difference between young people bringing Bibles, physical Bibles to school transitioned into using digital Bibles on their phones and how we went from one to the other. And so, like, we can see transitions in the way they use their time, in the way they approach some of these topics that can help give us some nuance and some direction for how we might care better for our young people.
Mm-hmm. And I know both of you utilize, as you shared, Mark, both of you use this data, well, all of LCMS Youth Ministry use this data, this research to help with planning for future things and how can we better serve the youth and those who care for them in our church. Now, Juliana, I know just personally, I know that you love stats, you love research, you love data.
Not a surprise to like, people who have heard this episode or this show before.
How much joy does it bring you to conduct this survey?
So much joy. No, I love it. I think partly because it's the longitudinal stuff allows us to not just look at one moment in time, but to be able to go back 3, 6, 9, you know, years and be able to say like, oh, has that changed? Who, or even, you know, who has that changed for? Has it changed for men but not women? Has it changed for seniors but not freshmen? And so be able to kind of even dice into that a little bit of what, where we can pinpoint the changes are happening or where maybe we can start to see those conversations happening. So there's a lot of really great material in here that's both for this moment right now and looking at what happened for our young people in 2025, but also how that compares and contrasts to other things.
So let's dig into it a little bit. First of all, who took the poll? What do we know about who took the poll?
Yeah, so we have this time 1,267 youth took the poll. Now, it's helpful for us to mention that we do also have a poll that adults take, so we can compare and contrast with what adults are thinking on some of these issues, and they have some other questions as well. And a YAV poll. So we have almost a lot of the YAVs will take this. Same
young
poll.
Adult
so,
volunteers.
Sorry, young adult volunteers. Orange Nation.
Orange Nation.
Thank you for clarifying.
Sure.
Yeah. So, but of the teens who took the poll, there were just over 1,200 of them. A majority of them were women. So 62% female, kind of 60-40 split there. But all of them, obviously, high schoolers. I think we have certainly we say like this is not a scientific sample because these are young people who are at the gathering, also pretty highly involved, regular worshiping, regular Bible study, that kind of thing.
It was like 74% said they're weekly worshipers, I think. Is
that
right?
Yeah.
It's pretty high that are engaged. And another like 15% are at least monthly worshipers.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So involved high schoolers at the gathering.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. That's who we captured.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. What are some of the topics that you guys asked on the poll?
Maybe some categories
that
goes into the start.
Sure.
That I would say historically, we asked about maybe like beliefs and thoughts on like doctrinal issues, like questions, just things that'd be straight like out of catechism, out of scripture, get thoughts and believe that. And some of those have been pretty consistent over the years.
Yeah.
Just like we've been able to see that as a baseline across. We look at certainly then hot topics. So those, again, are their beliefs on those, but those have probably changed over the years. Some we have particularly kept consistent. Mm-hmm. But yet, nonetheless, that we try to keep something, just get feedback on what young people are thinking about that. And then we do have a section that kind of talks about behaviors. That's everything from might be activity with relationships to maybe other things, which I more know those are on technology. We certainly spend a lot of time on that. Mm-hmm. So, and we've even changed the question on that because guess what? Our numbers weren't changing a lot. Youth are on social media. So we tweak those questions in terms of get a little bit more specific around maybe which even moved away from figuring out which platforms there were, because that's been pretty consistent. And then I would say also then the things that we've also added to are time management and mental health. A lot of questions specifically to that. We could probably look back on the survey and say like, we were maybe just using different terms decades ago, still talking mental health, but now we're more specific because young people know that language. Mm-hmm. And then one of the ones we love at the end, then we ask, like, what are you concerned about and what do you want the church to talk more about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are some of the things that you guys asked this year for, or last year, for the youth?
So we have, the last couple of years, added a question about mental health mm-hmm. and how that has changed, whether that's impacted you or people that you know. We added a question, or we tweaked a question that we had had on there before in terms of how busy do you feel?
Oh.
Right? Mm-hmm. And how much of your time are you spending on different aspects during the course of a week? Mm-hmm. So we're not asking, like, obviously, like, maybe youth ministry activities are low when we're thinking about the course of the week because they have so many hours they're spending in school or work or other things. But where are you spending a lot of your time? How do you feel about how you're spending your time, which is an interesting question. And then we've got some great data now. I think we've got this social media question tweaked to grasp, like, where are they spending their time on social media? We've added a question this is the second time we've asked it, which is, like, if you have a question, who do you go to talk to about it? Mm. Which has been interesting for us to be able to look at. And I think that will be helpful for us longitudinally to see, like, are they talking to parents? They are. Are they talking to friends? Also that. But this time we found that that a decent number of them, if I had questions or I was struggling, I wouldn't talk to anybody, mm-hmm. right? So something for us to be kind of thinking about in that term. So, and then, like Mark mentioned, we asked some basic questions about lots of different, we would maybe call it risky behavior, that helps us to see how we mark up against maybe some of the more national surveys about whether young people are engaging yes. in risky behavior yes. or not, which they're not
yeah.
for the most part. So
I'm interested in hearing more of about the responses to, now you've piqued our interest with yeah. all these questions. Yeah. I want to hear about the responses to those in just a moment. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll learn about the responses to the youth poll at the 2025 LCMS Youth Gathering. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Who am I? How has God gifted me? Where is God calling me to serve? Concordia University St. Paul helps students explore the answers to these questions. Through a Christ-centered Lutheran higher education, dedicated faculty, and engaging academic programs, CSP is here to walk alongside you in your educational journey. With more than 100 degree programs from undergraduate to graduate offered in person and online, CSP aims to prepare you for success however God calls you. Visit csp.edu to discover and engage your calling today.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we're talking with friends from LCMS Youth Ministry, the Reverend Mark Kiesling and DCE Juliana Schultz, also hosts of End Goals Podcast. You can find it here on KFUO. Today we're taking a look at the results of the LCMS Youth Poll taken at the 2025 LCMS Youth Gathering. Fascinating stuff. Brilliant idea. Thanks to the team that started this back in the 1980s with Pastor Dittmer and all the things. And thanks for carrying this on today, too, because there's so many valuable insights. Now, you guys brought to light some of the great questions that have been included this past year. What are some things that we've learned from this? Some insights that have been gained from these? What are some of the responses to these questions that we've been talking about?
Yeah. So let's maybe start with some low balls, wishes.
Sure.
As you would expect in this population, we're seeing high rates of people both understanding and believing Lutheran doctrine questions about where faith comes from, that the Bible is the word of the inerrant word of God. We're seeing low numbers in terms of risky behavior, like binge drinking, drug use, that kind of thing. So we're we feel good about that has been very stable for many, many cycles. But even this year, that adherence to Lutheran doctrine even ticked up a bit, which was hard to do when the numbers are that high. So it's always great to be encouraged that the young people in our congregations and youth ministries are hearing the word of God and understanding it.
I think one of the things that stood out to me, I love that we added this question. It was a lot going on in terms of if you've been following things within like school systems and other things about this conversations that's happening in large systems, I think, around the use of technology. And so we asked the question of our young people, have you seen restriction being put on technology and usage? And where, in what area of life is that happening? And so saw, again, definitely strong reactions that they saw in school. Time was being restricted in terms of, like, I think new policies and things that are going into many of our schools, whether that's at Lutheran schools, private schools, or public schools. Saw their workplace restricting time more. And then interestingly, next on the list was they themselves are saying, I'm learning to restrict myself on my technology use. So that was cool to see them take responsibility for that. I think it's they see it's part of their life. And so it's one of these things, again, that they want to be actively involved and being good stewards of that. And then certainly on that list too were church and then parents was actually the last group in their ranking. But kind of to see that interesting to where, like, they see that change in their life. Now, interestingly, their time on technology has not necessarily decreased.
No.
They're finding other time to do it.
They continue to tell us they spend too much time on technology.
Yes. But they do see avenues in their life and areas of their life where they are restricting the time. So maybe finding, again, good stewards of time, finding the concentrated time, the focused time when that's appropriate to be doing that. So interesting to see conversations that's happening within their world are affecting their daily lives.
Yeah.
We ask about busyness, and anybody who has a teenager in their life is going to know this sort of anecdotally, but it's always fun to have the data that says that youth are feeling very busy right now and that peaks at around 17. So when we say, like, your junior year is super hard, yet your junior year is super hard.
Man, my junior year was super hard. You guys are right.
That there is this data point of, like, this, right, as I'm making this really, like, because I'm starting to make these really intense decisions and schooling ramps up a little bit. My senior year might be a little less intense academically for a lot of our young people. So, like, to be able to spot that and to say, like, yeah, that time's gonna ramp up a little bit. And that they're spending their time in homework, they're spending their time in extracurriculars, they're spending their time in sports, and that those are high priorities for them. But I also would say, like, we asked this question about mental health and if they've struggled with their mental health in the last year or in the past. And coming into 22, that number was a little higher. It was a point where we were a little, like much of the rest of the world, concerned about the mental health of young people. And we still are. But we saw that number relax a little, come down just a touch, which I think is evidence of us coming out of COVID and a return to kind of a normal life a little bit. It's still higher than we'd like it to be, but it's still coming down a little bit was helpful for us. I did mention earlier, couple of things that we did see in that was that young women were more likely to be able to identify friends who had struggled with mental health than guys were. And when we look at national data, that makes us a little suspicious that maybe our young men are not talking about their emotional and mental health as much in the church. And maybe that's something for us to be thinking about, is how are we encouraging them to find space where they're talking about those things in community. The other thing is that we asked where they would turn if they were struggling, and certainly they rated really highly friends, parents, other family members, which is all really great. But then kind of that fourth person was nobody, and about a third of them said, hey, like, I wouldn't talk to anybody if I were struggling. We can see that in some other data about loneliness for this generation, really being able to say, like, hey, how are we helping our young people? We talk about in seven practices, finding parents, finding supportive adults who they can talk to when things are difficult.
Mm-hmm. I love to see that some of the things, too, around activity. We saw an uptick, not only from 2022, but from previous years, too, just around positive, like, spiritual activities. So things like regular prayer, time in God's word, individual time in God's word, as well as that they're engaging in word and studying community as well. Again, that high worship statistic that we saw. And so we heard about that in other avenues, too, where we had, like, speakers who said, hey, the feedback I was getting, like, people really wanted more, even more practical ways. How do I do these practices of faith, being in community, being in God's word, these kind of things, connecting to, again, these wonderful gifts God's given to us to be in community and also to grow in our faith. So I think, again, there's obviously, I believe, some really good work coming out of, like, our confirmation and into high school ministry with giving those skills to young people and getting them started and keeping to build on that, but that we continue to encourage that. And then we also model it in our own lives, too, as the adult church, around what does that look like. And we continue to talk and teach on it. So, like, that was really encouraging, both to see the numbers uptick, but then also a big interest in that too. So a church is another great place that we can educate and model and give resources to our young people for that.
How does the data like this inform what you guys are doing right now, the trends that you've seen over time? Because I mean, you guys are always in the middle of gathering cycles and doing things for eSource and all, just material and events and resources and all that. How does what you found at this poll inform what you're doing right now?
Certainly, it's a space where we maybe ask some more questions of young people that we interact with. So like at Youth Lead, we may ask some follow-up questions to some of these things just to get even deeper into the topics. Youth eSource takes really heavily from some of the things we see here as direction from our young people on, hey, what are topics we want to be talking about more in the church, or even from adults who take the poll, hey, this is space where we want to be leaning more heavily into a particular area or topic. This time, topics were very dispersed amongst a lot of, there weren't maybe just one or two really key things. It was a lot of things that people were concerned about. And so that also tells us something about what young people are looking for from the church. So, but we also share it in presentations. Mark and I go out and talk to people about youth ministry, and we'll use this data to help highlight some of those things that we know to be true for our LCMS young people so that we can help give that information out to other youth leaders to help them give some direction as well.
I think one of the things we see, whether our interaction with young people through Youth Leader, the Gathering, or other places, and certainly research, is young people see, you know, they know oftentimes they have a lot of friends who don't know Jesus or don't have a relationship with the church. And I think maybe in the past, youth ministry oftentimes was one of those things where we could like collect kids and bring them in and there would be this connection. And just as the church maybe isn't as the center of the life of our communities as it used to be, that isn't the case so much. And so young people, I think, see either they recognize I want to be able to share my faith with my friend who I care for, or they see too, I think, that there's aspects of the world that are pushing against their faith. So we ask, like, how do you feel supported in your faith life by what people? And very high marks from the church, very high from our pastors, very high from my parents. And then peers go down a little bit, still faithful friends, but like still seeing that. And then we ask, well, this time it was great, the influencers. And like, then it's like, no, not really. And it wasn't necessarily antagonistic either. It was just like, yeah, that's not, I don't go for influencers for maybe for my faith
sports
walk.
Influencers, yeah, exactly. Are talking, yeah, about my,
you know,
faith.
I'm not looking
my,
for that. So maybe, you know, the culture isn't necessarily all that against them, and maybe some of the social media stuff they're consuming. But we certainly want to help young people say, like, hey, this might be a question your friend's going to ask you. Here's how we can answer faithfully from God's word. And so we just love hearing young people who are like, I want to be equipped to share my faith and also stand up against maybe some of the questions or challenges that might come. And so that helps us always gear, like, okay, well, what are those topics you feel pushback on so that we can equip you better for that?
I mean, think about it. 1980, the word influencer wouldn't have even been on.
It wasn't even a word.
Think about how much has changed since that first gathering.
Well, I think I may not remember this correctly,
there's
but
still
I think
there's still some questions where I think if the kid doesn't know that they're from the 80s, there might be like some questions about what is that?
Yeah. Well, it's like we're asking about online time. Like, I think it was very much TV. Like, I spent my time watching TV.
Right.
Was the question. And then I think video games finally came in late 80s. So you kind of see even that change of the nomenclature and what kids were doing
so
with their time.
We have a list of things that they might be concerned about that has some things that I definitely think kids were concerned about in the 80s, yeah, that we are no longer concerned about.
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
For pastors, parents, people who care about young people, mm-hmm, in the church today, one thing, I'm sure there are numerous things you can take away from this, one from each of you, one really valuable thing that you think is going to be an helpful insight this year. I know, that's a, yeah. It's a lot of information.
I would certainly say, just the biggest picture of this poll tells us that our young people have a lot to say. They're amazing, and God has gifted them in many and various ways and is working through you to care for them. But there are some things to be concerned about, and our kids are worried about a lot of things that are happening in the world. And so I think, if nothing else, hopefully this prompts leaders to ask good questions of their young people and listen well to hear what those concerns are from your young person.
I think a little bit along those lines. I think one of the things that came through more from the open-ended questions that came through, a lot of concerns about divisiveness that young people see in not only their culture, but also the church. And so how do we lovingly talk about disagreements? How do we lovingly talk about the areas where we can disagree as Christians and maybe where we want to make sure we're rock solid and understanding things from God's word? And how do they walk through that in their everyday lives with new relationships, current relationships, all those kind of things, and to be able to absorb that well and be able to reflect Christ's love in that. And I think one of the places where I saw that is interesting when we asked these questions about what are the things that concern you now? Previously, we'd have a long list, certainly, but like you'd have a long range from very hot, hot topics to kind of cool topics. And this time it was more general, that it was like everything was just kind of at the same level of maybe a medium burn, where before it'd be like hot burning to low. And so like to me, it says like, okay, there's a diversity of things that are concerning our kids. Yeah. And so like, let's make sure we're listening well. Don't pigeonhole them into areas and really hopefully give them equipment of that foundational pieces, but also good resources where when they do have questions, questions come up in the world. And I think that's because they got the world in their pocket on their phone. They got a lot of questions that come at them and we want to give them good resources and God's word in those times.
Where can we find the summary of this youth poll?
So the summary, the executive summary is going to be up, is up now on Youth eSource. So youthesource.com, and it's available. And you can also go back and look at previous executive summaries if you would like to help do some comparison on that as well.
Fantastic. Thank you both for spending time with us. Also, thanks for all the work you do and hosting End Goals and all the great things you share with us there for youth, particularly those who care about youth, pastors, parents, DCEs, all those who care about youth. You didn't even have to be a church worker to care about youth. That's one thing I think we've learned in that. One of the great things we've learned in that. The Reverend Mark Kiesling, Director of LCMS Youth Ministry, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
And DCE Juliana Schultz, Program Manager, LCMS Youth Ministry. Thanks for joining us.
Always happy to be here.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.